From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Stockton, California.
I live next door to Bob Saget.
Selma.
Rockridge.
Tracy, California.
Noe Valley.
Everywhere, I'm homeless.
Coming up, we'll visit a middle school in Oakland that's trying out new approaches to old problems.
We want to flip the script and put a lot of energy towards positive behavior.
Then we'll get down to the basics of education reform with local author David Kerp.
What we have is a narrative of failure. The schools aren't, the kids aren't. I think people are dispirited by this.
And we'll peek in on an exclusive high school club for anime lovers.
Greetings, I am Luthien. And she was a type of wolf hybrid.
Reinvention and reform today on Cross Currents. Earlier this month, Governor Jerry Brown introduced a revised budget for the state, cutting about $1 billion from the plan he presented in January.
For the first time in more than a decade, we've got a balanced budget, and it's solid.
Many state services will see cuts, but one area of spending is actually getting more money this time around, education. The plan includes an almost $3 billion increase for schools in the current year, with another $16 billion to be added by 2016. Every school district in the state will be seeing an increase in funding, and those with high numbers of English language learners or low-income students will be getting even more money. Oakland Unified is one of those districts, and that's where we're going for our first story today. Cliff Hong is the principal of Roosevelt Middle School in Oakland's San Antonio neighborhood. We first met Hong a year ago when he was in his second year as principal at Roosevelt. At the time, the school was trying a new approach to educating its nearly 700 students and to dealing with recurring problems like school safety.
And we believe in broken windows theory, where you take care of the little things and then the big things won't materialize. Like, you can't have hats in the building, right? And no hoods. And that's a practical thing, too, because we want to know if there's some sort of stranger that's on campus. So we can't have kids covering their faces, and we need to see who's here. So no hats and hoods.
Mills student reporter Karen Gordon wanted to find out how things have been going at Roosevelt since that story aired, and she brings us this update.
Welcome back to Roosevelt Middle School. It's good to see you again. And again, thanks for being here.
Principal Hong greets me with news of Roosevelt's recent achievement, a big increase in his students' scores on the state aptitude tests, better known as STAR tests.
It was the largest gain of any Oakland Unified Middle School, and over 2 years, it's a total of 41 points. It's actually, the score that we have this year is the highest score that Roosevelt Middle School has had in 14 years.
With such a dramatic improvement in test scores, it's clear that something new is happening here. Hong says they are creating a different culture at the school.
There were lots of fights when we first got here. This is my third year as principal. And there were fights in the alleyways outside the school, fights in and out of the school. And so the first order of business when we got here was to make sure this school was a safe place for our students, because students who are stressed out aren't going to be able to focus on their academics.
Kids need safety inside and outside of school.
We have a new partnership with the Oakland Police Department, where they've added some extra patrols in the neighborhood to be able to provide safety for our students to and from school. And so we're excited about that partnership.
Another exciting partnership at Roosevelt is between the school's music department and the Oakland East Bay Symphony. The symphony's Music for Excellence program brings its professional musicians into Roosevelt's music classes each week. It's the night of the concert, and the place is full of excited kids and proud parents.
It's our first nighttime concert for parents and families, so we're very excited to be able to offer this and have the families see what their kids are doing here.
What the kids are doing here is music at all levels, from beginning band to advanced orchestra. Roosevelt musical director Daniel Andrade tells me that many students are drawn to Roosevelt because of its full music program with two bands, two string sections, and a choir.
So we really see this school not just as a school for reading, writing, and arithmetic, but as a community center.
In addition to enhancing student accomplishment through the arts, Principal Hong is also focused on science and technology. He is looking to the future and intends to make sure his students can compete in science, technology, engineering, and math, the so-called STEM courses. By moving the school's programs in this direction, he hopes to stay on track with his goal of transforming Roosevelt and rebuilding the school's reputation.
We're hoping that the STEM focus and the community focus are going to yield some really great kids once they leave us.
Hong is also taking a lesson from other middle schools in the area. He and his team toured successful schools to find ideas to bring back to Roosevelt.
We visited Kitt Bridge in Oakland. It's a charter school. And we also visited a school called El Cesal in Salinas, California.
Hong says that's where his team learned a new teaching technique,
which is designed to help students who don't quite have a grasp of formal academic English. And it's kind of a whole way of thinking about instruction where every teacher is a literacy teacher.
Roosevelt students are mainly English language learners, 37% officially.
But unofficially, it's probably closer to 90%.
Hong says by weaving vocabulary and literacy instruction into daily class lessons, teachers give students more opportunity to increase their language skills. And one other innovation, now used in over a dozen Oakland middle schools, is proving very effective for Roosevelt.
Okay, so I noticed these orange tags attached to your necktie.
Mm-hmm. So these are what we call our bulldog bucks, and these are given to students if they are demonstrating that they're responsible, respectful, or if they're being safe. And this is part of an effort that's new this year called the Positive Behavior Intervention System, where instead of just pointing out kids and giving a whole lot of energy to negative behavior, we want to flip the script and put a lot of energy towards positive behavior. And I think that's been a big part of what has calmed our campus down.
But even with improved test scores, community partnerships, and increased calm and safety, Roosevelt faces a major hurdle, the need to increase enrollment. 9 Oakland charter schools have opened within the past 3 years, 5 just this year alone. 2 of these charters serve the middle grades, reducing the number of students available to enroll at middle schools like Roosevelt.
With the openings of these K-8s and with more charters coming in, it's just going to be harder to draw more students.
There are currently 650 students attending Roosevelt Middle School. Full enrollment, about 100 additional students, would bring in more money because school funding is currently based on student population and attendance. And more money could help improve Roosevelt's curriculum, test scores, and student outcomes.
You know, we're looking at different ways to outreach and market to compete. And it feels kind of strange that as a public entity, we're competing as if we're in a market system. But, you know, these are the rules that have been set for me to play by. And so we're going to do our best.
Principal Hong will do what he has done for the last 3 years, anything and everything to improve the quality of education for Roosevelt's students. For Cross Currents, I'm Karen Gordon. Karen Gordon is a reporter at Mills College, where that story was produced. Is there a school near you that's making a change for the better? You can tell us about it on our tip line. Just leave us a message at 415-264-7106. That number again is 264-7106, and we'll try to get your story on the air. You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. Just like at Roosevelt, schools and districts around the country are looking for ways to improve learning and safety for their students. And author David Kerp's new book tackles just that topic. He says we have to start with the way we think about education reform, and that means reforming the way we talk about it.
Because what we have is a narrative of failure. The schools aren't, the kids aren't. I think people are dispirited by this.
Kerp's a professor of public policy at UC Berkeley. His new book is called Improbable Scholars, The Rebirth of a Great American School System and a Strategy for America's Schools. It focuses on the remarkable turnaround of one school district in Union City, New Jersey, and what lessons the rest of the country can learn from them. Kerp recently joined me in studio. I started out asking him what Union City did right. He told me it all comes down to basics, words.
What they did was to realize that they needed to focus on two things. They had a lot of kids, as you mentioned, who are Latino kids who come to school not speaking English. So they needed a really good bilingual system. And they realized what the linguists have been saying for a while, that you need a grounding in your home language.
So literacy in your native language,
which means reading, writing, and speaking before you transition. And the other thing they understood was that these kids weren't in an environment where there were lots of books around. Parents were busy. Parents were tired, didn't have the time to read to their kids, didn't have a lot of education because it is a poor community, basically a community of farmers from all over Latin America who've come for the standard American dream reasons. They want to give their kids a good education. And so the schools became this word-drenched, language-drenched, writing-drenched environment. So that was the start. Find a curriculum that is really good to help kids learn their native language and move into English, and then offer them a rich array of reading and writing and see what happens. And then,
well, a couple of questions about that. You mentioned this one teacher, I think, Rojas, and she said something to the effect of, my goal is to do for these kids what I do with my own children, which is hands-on teaching, using a lot of vocabulary, really kind of getting in there and learning by doing.
Susie Rojas is a fabulous teacher, and I describe in the book a lesson or making latkes, potato pancakes,
yeah,
which is a great, great story. But everything from, this is a potato, how does it feel, will it feel different when you cook it, let's find out, what's going to happen when you put the potato in the food processor, let's slice up the potato, everybody's got a chance. And the moment that the pea in pepper is the same as the pea in pimiento. And the moment I loved is when the potato drops on the floor and she picks it up and says, this is what cooks do. You wipe off the potato and you keep going.
Oh, great.
And at the end of that lesson, I was roaming around the school. I came back and the kids had made latkes and they said, do you want to try one? And I said, of course. And they were great.
Did you try the one that fell on the floor?
I have no idea, right? That's the great joy of this. If it was good enough for Julia Child, it's good enough for Susie Rojas and those kids. But what was lovely is the latkes were served, the sort of traditional Hanukkah style is sour cream and apples. Sauce. Well, they had that, but they also, it's a Latino school, they had salsa.
That's the way I like my
latkes. And salsa actually turns out to be, yeah, an improvement over this. So, you get a little cultural diversity.
But the idea there is that, A, the teacher is using her own creativity and knowledge, et cetera, and they're learning about math, right, with the measuring,
yep,
learning about vocabulary, learning about culture. So it's
learning
all
about
of this
motor
into
skills.
One.
They're motor skills. Motor skills as well. How do you manipulate
that? So I guess one of the questions that teachers might have, or people like me, is how did they buck this trend of kind of needing to teach to the test, this new kind of No Child Left Behind philosophy of everybody has to be exactly on the same page. You've got to have this standardized curriculum.
So the core of the enterprise is a good teacher, a challenging curriculum, and an engaged student. That's where everything starts. That's what you've got to build out from. So that's where the projects and a curriculum that cuts across art and science and literature and math. That's
and
where
you
that
mentioned
works.
Fun, engaging students, yes, and having learning be fun as opposed to this horrible thing that you have to do and memorize.
Exactly.
And
but there's a chapter, when I come back to this, I spent a lot of time in one elementary school in this fabulous classroom of immigrant third graders who are learning English while they're prepping for the first big test. And when I come back to that school in the winter, the chapter is called Where Fun Comes to Die, parentheses, and be reborn after the test. Because what winds up happening is that the teachers have to figure out a way to get those kids test ready, mm-hmm, even as they're trying to keep education live and engaging. And it's a very, very fine dance that they wind up doing. What that mixes is something that any teacher is listening to the show, any administrator is going to understand the difficulties, the challenges of doing it and getting it right.
We're speaking with David Kerp, who's professor of public policy at UC Berkeley, and he's the author of the new book, Improbable Scholars, The Rebirth of a Great American School System and a Strategy for America's Schools. So, David, what about this idea? You talk about
about community schools and engaging parents in this process. And there's a couple of things that I think are interesting about that. Obviously, one of the things that they found for student achievement and success is parental involvement. But there's a lot of schools, teachers, and administrators that really don't want to necessarily invite the parents in. How did they do it in Union City, New Jersey?
Well, again, I think it's a close community. And while, as we're talking about Union City because I spent a year there and because it's a very dramatic tale. It's not as though this is a one-shot school. I looked across the country at other places that have also improved achievement, that have closed the achievement gap. And what they're doing is stuff that any educator knows. So it's really strong preschool. We've mentioned that. It's the bilingual education. It's a very word-drenched curriculum. It's figuring out ways to get teachers to collaborate with each other, to work with each other, because as anybody who's been in a classroom knows, that's how you learn to teach. You mm-hmm. learn to teach by teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It's collaborative, not competitive, so that Latka's lesson isn't just Susie Rojas's lesson.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lesson for all the pre-K teachers to use, and she'll bring in the equipment and leave the equipment, you know, for
but
others to use.
But then you're talking about establishing a culture here.
Yes, absolutely.
That is frequently different than the kind of competitive, zero-sum culture that I think a lot of people feel like they're operating under, and a budget acts constantly.
No, I think it's essential. And this is something that the way in which a school superintendent, you know, treats the system, builds a system, builds a culture, supports folks, is crucial. I mean, one of the great things about San Francisco, and one of the essentials to making this work, is stability. You know, we can talk about all those elements, the assessment, you know, the support of teachers, you know, the building of a curriculum that's coherent from grade to grade, that's consistent from school to school so that poor kids who move a lot aren't going to get lost. But if you don't have consistent leadership, if you have a revolving door superintendent, then you're in trouble. And so the fact that San Francisco had a superintendent who was here for 6 or 7 years,
mm-hmm.
then retires, and Richard Carranza comes in, tutored, mentored.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of is right there to take over the job and carry on. That is the prescription for success.
And you said that San Francisco Unified is a model for involving parents and creating a parenting system. What's happening here that we should know about?
Well, there's more and more effort, emphasis on community schools, which means engaging parents and other partners in kids' education so that the school day isn't just the 8-to-3 day, but it reaches before and afterwards. And more generally, there is an effort to reach out to families, an increasing effort to reach out to families, and increasing recognition that they're not only partners, they're the primary educators of their kids. And for starters, that means getting the material to them in their own language so they can understand what's going on. It also means making sure that teachers feel comfortable talking with parents and that parents feel comfortable talking with teachers. And that's something that the district is working on as well.
What is one thing you want people listening to take away?
Everything that Union City and other successful districts are doing has been known to be a good thing for a long time. I mean, it just makes sense. You know, a solid bilingual program, really good early education, supporting teachers, a language-rich curriculum, mentoring, assessments that are used to help the teachers and the students, building a culture of trust, not a culture of fear. This is familiar stuff to any educator with a pulse. The trick is to stick at it. And it's hard to do that. It requires patience on the part of everybody in the system. And unfortunately, we live in a pretty impatient society. So getting away from the faddishness that we are stuck with, the brand new ideas, the small schools, the charter schools, the vouchers, the, you know, whatever the model du jour is.
Right, but there is that imperative. If it's my kid and I've only got this one shot at an education, I don't necessarily have 20 years to wait.
No, exactly. And that is indeed the tension in the system. And if you've got available to you a school like that, by all means, take up the option. But if you're a parent, what you really want to do is to work on what's happening with your kid in the school with that teacher. Get engaged, get involved, participate, build a school culture.
David Kerp is professor of public policy at UC Berkeley and the author of Improbable Scholars, The Rebirth of a Great American School System and a Strategy for America's Schools. What do you think our school system needs? You can let us know at our Facebook page. We're KALW. This is Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. Sometimes there's a problem at school that education reform just can't fix. Like at the fictional school attended by Japanese anime character Sailor Moon.
Today on Sailor Moon, there's a new danger. Could the smartest girl in school actually be an alien of the Negaverse?
Sailor Moon is an example of Japanese anime and manga or graphic novels. Oakland students Maria Martinez and Vo No are fans. Every couple of weeks, they journey to another land, one filled with wolf hybrids and high drama. It's all part of a manga that they're creating together. The story centers around a character called Ace Hearts and his attempt to redeem himself for his past wrongs, something that lead creator No says is an important lesson for all of us. He explained that a little bit more to Hear Hear community storytelling producer Erica Mu.
Greetings, I am Luthien.
My name is Ace Hearts.
I had a whole hatred for any type of human, any half-humans, any people that look like humans.
A mystery, a silent yet strong character.
I'm just remembering the actual roleplay and how it all worked out and how we didn't progress in it at all. I'm Maria Martinez, and I live in Oakland. I'm 16.
My name is Vo No. Currently, I'm in Laney College, but I met Maria in an anime club in Skyline High School up on the hill, and the first thing I said to her was, to enter this club, you have to give me $10.
It's true.
Every one of the club members created their own character, and we just
pretended that we were the characters.
We became that character to just like live those few minutes we had during lunch. I decided to take it a little farther in my mind, you know, make an actual story with my character being the main character. Maria is my artist.
If he has a certain idea of how he wants a character to look like, I make him kind of draw it out.
Mainly, she works on the anatomy. I just work on how they look facially and their clothes.
Manga is a graphic novel originally made by the Japanese. It's just a way of expression.
A way to express my thoughts, like my ideas. My character, the story revolves around him trying to make up for past sins he has committed. I guess I just want people to realize that you should make up for the things you've done bad in your past. You should not feel like it's okay to do things that you know are wrong. I think we both went through some things in our lives that have made us who we are. I personally grew up without a father, so I had to live the way I would have expected things to have turned out on my own or something like that.
Well, I had a certain experience. I kind of tried to not live in reality, go in my little fantasy land, escape it. Make sure I am in this little shell as my characters are. They are trying to protect themselves and their hearts. They don't want to experience what they experienced before.
I don't think we'll make it big until after she graduates from college.
I don't know. When
like
would
six
that
six more
be?
Years.
Yeah, in 6 more years.
You just heard from students Maria Martinez and Vo No. They shared their story with Hear Hear, KALW's community storytelling project at the Cesar Chavez Library in Oakland. You can hear more stories from Hear Hear at kalw.org. That's where you'll also find our podcast and more local stories.
And that's it for today's Cross Currents from KALW News. Our team includes Isabel Angel, Hana Baba, Julie Kane, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Chris Hoff, Maya DePaula Hanica, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Resu Sussman, Alyssa Kapnick, Laura Sapinara, Judy Silber, Stephen Short, Seth Samuel, Melanie Young, and Mary Willis. Today's show was engineered by Eva Sonsan. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Also, thanks to City Car Share for providing an alternative transportation option for our reporters. City Car Share is online at citycarshare.org. And thanks to you. KALW is independent, locally sourced, listener-supported public radio. And thanks to you, we just completed our successful Shorter is Better membership campaign. KALW can innovate because we are supported by this local community, and we thank you.
Please don't nominate the Rap Jack. If you've got nothing new to say.
The music you're hearing is by the Sycamore Slough String Band, which is a longtime project of Grateful Dead expert and musician David Gans. Gans has assembled a wide range of musicians benefiting the Ashkenaz Music and Community Centers in Berkeley. It's their 40th anniversary, and a special note to KALW listeners, morning host Joe Burke is part of the lineup. It's rare for Joe to be up this late, so go have a listen on Friday evening. That's this Friday, the 31st, starting at about 8:30 p.m. and tell him Cross Currents sent ya. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.